Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's June 24, 2013, and this is episode 376. Today we conclude what turned out to be a five-part travelogue-style account of my recent trip to Namibia. I've selected my last 10 favourites to take a look at, and I'll include a little background about my thought process while shooting. We will pick up the trail on the evening of May 20 at Okonjima. Before we jump into it though, I'd like to mention that this episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MBP6. I think of all the accommodation that we stayed at, the Kulala Desert Lodge and the last lodge at Okonjima were my favourites. Kulala was where we stayed when shooting the incredible red sand dunes and the camel thorn trees at Deadfley, which we looked at in episode 373, part 2 of this series. It's also where the staff sang to us every other night, which is the music that I've been playing us in with and out with for these five episodes. The rooms at both lodges were incredible, the people were warm and welcoming, and the food was great. I could literally go back to either lodge and just spend a couple of weeks hanging out and not really doing much, but that probably would be a bit of a waste as there's such great photography to be done on their doorsteps. We'd driven a few hundred kilometres through the morning of the 20th, and after settling into our rooms, we met our guide for the afternoon, whose name was Previous. How cool is that? Previous used a receiver to track the signal of a tracking device attached to some of the cheetahs in their reserves, basically around their necks. The Okonjima Reserve is actually the home of the AfriCat Foundation, which is involved in the research and rehabilitation of Namibia's threatened wildcat population, which is why they have some of the cats tagged. This does, though, of course, make it easier to find and photograph them. Honestly, though, the tagged cheetahs were very difficult to photograph in a position where the huge tracking devices on their collars was not spoiling the shot. As I shot this first image that I'm showing you now, there were three cheetahs sleeping on the ground not far behind me. But I gave up on waiting for the right moment in preference of getting a shot of this giraffe with the warm light of the sunset on its face and neck with the wildebeest in the background. I ran this through Nik Software's Color Effects Pro to bring out the texture a little. And this also gives the slightly out-of-focus background an almost primal feel, probably because I associate the wildebeest with cave paintings, which I'll talk a little bit about more later. But as we look at another image later, it really just looks to me like a cave painting. We went on to shoot the giraffe here against the setting sun, but I was a little underwhelmed with my resulting images. The sun was too harsh and the silhouette didn't really work for me, but the memory was incredible. Previous kept telling us that no one gets this close to the giraffes, and we were pretty damn close. They were towering over us almost like dinosaurs, and the experience will stay with me forever. A somewhat similar shot. Here's another photo looking back towards where the cheetah were, probably just out of the left of the frame here. I wanted to mention this shot more to talk about a technique that I often use when shooting with long lenses. Here I was shooting with the 70-200mm lens with the 1.4x extender fitted, and I'd pulled back as far as I could go, giving me a focal length of 98mm. The scene though was wider than I could zoom out, so I shot two photographs and stitched them together in Photoshop. The result is a 16:19 aspect ratio photo, so it will view perfectly on a widescreen display or TV. The thing to note here, though, of course, is that even with wildlife, don't rule out stitching images together if you don't have the time to change lenses or to remove an extender, etc. The next photo is a close-up of two giraffes' heads, which I thought worked better in sepia. The sun was down now, and the light was so low that I had to increase the ISO to 3200 for this shot at f8, and I needed to stay stopped down to f8 so that the second giraffe would still be acceptably sharp. You can see that it's just starting to go soft, but it's sharp enough for this to work, and it leaves no ambiguity as to which of the two giraffes is the main subject. Obviously, the one that's looking straight at the camera is the star of the show here. I shot this with my 300mm f2.8 lens with the 1.4x extender fitted. I was in wildlife shooting mode, so was using my Black Rapid double strap and the 1DX and 300mm lens on one side, and the 5D Mark III with the 72-200 lens on the other side. This makes switching lenses very easy, which broadens your shooting horizons in locations like this. With just one camera, I'd have lost shots while changing lenses here without doubt. That evening, after dinner, we had the opportunity to do a night game drive. I was totally whacked, but knew that I'd regret not going, so I signed up for it. Straight out of the gate, we saw this spotted eagle owl. Initially, he was in a different tree with a little bit of a messier sort of view. The branches were a little bit messier, but then he flew to a second tree, which is where I shot this image. As you can see, we were shooting by the light from a spotlight that the guide was shining on the animals. Because of this, the light would move around a lot, and we were also shooting at varying distances. So this was one of those rare occasions where I switched to aperture priority mode. When I use aperture priority mode, I now also use auto ISO, as this gives the camera more wiggle room. The ISO ended up at 16,000 for this shot at f4, but there's virtually no grain. Another tribute to the amazing technology that we have these days. One thing that I don't like about automatic shooting modes is that I have to start to mess around with exposure compensation. And here I was down to minus 2 stops because there was so much black in the frame and I needed to stop the owl from becoming overexposed. But because the light was changing as the driver wiggled the spotlight around, I had to live with that. I left my white balance on my default, which is always the daylight preset, but then I changed this to auto in Lightroom, and the results were quite neutral, so I went with that. After the owl shot, we saw very little that would make a decent photograph, and we were out much later than we'd initially been told, so I was actually starting to regret going on this excursion. But then, just before we started to head back, I got this shot of a herd of wildebeest as they ran to escape the spotlight. There's a lot of subject movement here, but with the light shining in the wildebeest's eyes and the natural vignette, this is the photo that I mentioned earlier that reminds me of a cave painting, so I quite like it. With my fixation on sharpness, I sometimes have a hard job letting go, but I think that this is one of those times that the artistic merit of the image is greater than the requirement for critical sharpness. I sometimes find this with panning shots too. I love to nail the sharpness on the head, but sometimes the slight softness can even add to the overall ethereal feel to the image, and therefore should never really be ruled out without thinking of the artistic over the technical accuracy. Before we move on, as I mentioned earlier, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. Webspace keeps rolling out new product features, integrations, templates, to make sure that you get the most of their recent innovations, Squarespace has a 24/7 support team providing live chat during the week and extremely fast email support throughout the day and night. Plus, with the plan starting as low as $8 per month for the software host and hosting, Squarespace is real value. Squarespace is exceptionally well designed by their award-winning design team, who regularly add smart features and amazing design templates. For example, they just added a new calendar feature called the Events Collection that allows you to share schedule updates, store sale events, and band tour dates, etc. And they just released a beautiful new template called Momentum, which has cinematic full bleed image display, perfect for photographers and designers to showcase their work. Everything is drag and drop. Their page builder tool called the Layout Engine enables you to customize pages in seconds by adding blocks of content such as photos, videos, text, social media content, and immediately preview layout as you go. In just a few clicks, their style editor tool allows selection of fonts, colors, or layouts to customize templates and make them uniquely yours. Squarespace Commerce provides a powerful and flexible e-commerce solution, integrated to work with every Squarespace template, allowing sales for both physical and digital goods. For example, you can sell music CDs or MP3s, digital photographs, or pretty much anything you want, even ebooks. Squarespace gives you and your website users the best mobile experience. They've developed templates with responsive designs, which means that your site automatically restructures to look great on any device, smartphones, tablets, or computers. They connect all of your social media accounts, so you can publish to and from social media with a few clicks, refreshing your site content from the places that you'd like to post, such as Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, LinkedIn, and more. And Squarespace integrates all of your website needs into one platform. Domains, design, development, commerce, hosting, 24/7 support. They've got everything, basically. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com and sign up for a free account. There's no credit card needed. Just try it out and start building your website today. Then, if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code MBP6 and you'll get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, and that includes monthly or annual plans. And don't forget about your free domain registrations for annual plan customer subscriptions. So that's squarespace.com and use our offer code MBP6. Everything you need to create an exceptional website is right there. I'd also like to thank Squarespace for their continued support of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Getting back to Namibia now, we had another morning game drive the following day, but the highlight of the day was late in the afternoon when the guides took us to a corner of the reserve to photograph Wahoo, their old captive leopard. We were due to leave the following morning, and I get the distinct feeling that they'd kept this to the end of the last day, but that was okay, Wahoo was worth it. We were led into a hide with seats along a counter to rest our lenses on, and once we were all sat down and ready, the shutter was winched up, and almost like a circus peep show, Wahoo was released. After pausing for a second, he jumped up onto a strategically placed tree to feast on the raw meat that had been placed on the branch on which we see him here. There were initially two pieces of meat, so as he ate the first one, the second one was just sitting there, so obviously just placed there, so I only shot a few frames until he'd finished the first bit. This shot was actually as he'd finished the second bit of meat and was considering jumping down. Jeremy Woodhouse, the tour leader, and I talked about this afterwards and pretty much agreed that not only would one piece of meat have been better, it would be great if they could just stick like an impala leg or something up there. Of course, that would take a long time to eat, so maybe it's not practical, but they are probably feeding him game anyway, so not that far-fetched an idea. Still, I like this shot. I had purposefully cropped in very tightly here, and you can also see how I placed the curvy branch along the bottom of the frame to anchor the frame and the image. I had a wider lens on my other camera, which I used for this next photo, where I pulled back a little and included Wahoo's tail. The sun had stopped shining directly on this beautiful leopard, so you can see the difference between the warm tones in the first image and the cooler tones in this image. I adjusted my exposure accordingly, changing from f5 for a 500th of a second at ISO 500 for the first shot to f5.6 for 1/320th of a second at ISO 1600 for this shot. I really just don't think twice about increasing my ISO to this level anymore. As you've seen, even when you really push it now, there isn't a lot to worry about, especially if you shoot to the right with the data on the right side of the histogram so that you record the image with the best use of the data distribution in the file. In a nutshell, more bits of data are allocated to the brighter end of the histogram. So the darker you allow your image to get, the more grain you'll see. Here's one last shot of Wahoo before we move on. Once the blind was lifted, we were able to move around. So I'd been up and down the hide a few times. And as Wahoo settled on the grass right in front of us, I came back to roughly where I'd started and I kept him in the frame, capturing a few expressions, but my favorite by far is this profile where we can see his deep head with those beautiful facial markings and huge teeth as he continued to chew on the last bit of meat in his mouth. If you are wondering about my ethical stance with regards to photographing captive animals, you might have already guessed that it doesn't really bother me at all, but that's based on the understanding there's a good reason for the captivity. Wahoo is a rescued animal and not able to fend for himself, even in a semi-wild larger enclosure at Okonjima. He has to be in this small enclosure, and so it would be a waste, really, not to make him available for photography like this. One thing that I do like to do, though, is to mark my images of captive animals with a big capital C, as you can see here. If you go over to my blog, you'll see it on the images, and also if you're listening on an iPhone or an iPad, if you can see the title, you'll be able to see that I've included a capital C with the image, and that just basically means it's a captive animal. After the Wahoo shoot, we went out to the vehicles, and the guides pulled out some cooler boxes and made us drinks. Another one of those magical memories. I remember watching the sunset wrap the surrounding trees and the distant hills with beautiful warm light as I sipped my deliciously overstrong gin and tonic. The following day, the morning of May 22, was our last few hours of shooting before we had to start our drive over to Windhoek Airport and then fly back to Johannesburg to end the tour. Fighting the urge to just have a lie-in, we got up before sunrise one last time and headed out for what would really be just 90 minutes of shooting, hoping to see some cheetahs without the tracking devices around their necks. Once again, I got the feeling that this had been held back until the last morning, but we were driven into a relatively small enclosure where there were a number of young, uncollared cheetahs. They were relatively easy to find, and here we see one of them just bathing in the warm sunrise light. The light was still not that bright, so I was at ISO 800 for a 200th of a second at f8 for this shot. Within a few minutes, the colour of the light had changed, and my exposure was set at 1/500th of a second at f5.6 ISO 1000 for this last shot, which is literally the last image that I've chosen of the 50 that we've talked about over the last five episodes. There was literally just a few minutes left before we had to rush back to the lodge, only to skip breakfast and shoot off to the airport. The funny thing is, though, a moment before this shot, a warthog decided it would be a good idea to go for a stroll through the grasses and caught the cheetah's attention. This was just as the cheetah saw the warthog. Then, in an instant, he had two of them running after him at full sprint. Warthogs can move too, of course, and although the trees soon obscured our view, robbing us of the possibility of a shot, we saw that the warthog got away. I couldn't help laughing, though, wondering what must have gone through the warthog's mind as he ran off. The poor guy looked like he was just going for a morning stroll when the chase started. He must have wondered if he'd gotten out of the wrong side of his den or something, as he found himself instinctively running for his life from two of the fastest predators on the planet. What's even funnier is that we'd also seen warthogs sneaking into this relatively small compound through a hole they'd dug under the electric fence. It's no wonder they're one of the cheetah's favourite snacks if they're stupid enough to risk electrocution so that they can burrow into their arch enemy's backyard. Anyway, that's it. That concludes what turned out to be a 5-part series covering my trip to Namibia. We've looked at 50 photos, and there are a total of 100 photos on my portfolio site at martinbaileyportfolios.com/Namibia if you'd like to take a look at the full set. And remember that all of the images that we've talked about today, if you'd rather look at them bigger, you know, so you can really see the detail, go to mbp.ac/376 for episode 376, and you can see all of the manuscript and the photographs there. Those of you that have followed me for a while may remember that when we found that pesky brain tumour that I had a few years ago, exactly 2 years ago now, the first time that I shed a tear was when I realised that I had not yet been to Africa. The fear of death was very real, but literally the first thought that brought me to tears was the possibility of dying before I'd looked out across this beautiful land. The trip lived up to and surpassed everything that I've ever dreamt of with regards to Africa. So to finish, I'd like to thank my friend Jeremy Woodhouse from the bottom of my heart for making this possible. You rock, Jeremy, and I can't wait to work with you again. Thank you too for listening today. And remember that you can find me on Google+ and Twitter, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.